Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our beloved and blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Again, just one verse from that Old Testament reading tonight from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, the ninth verse. This is when Hanani was speaking to Asa. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, last week we considered David, his predecessor Saul, and then David, and then David's son Solomon were the first three kings of Israel, and they reigned over a united kingdom, all 12 tribes of Israel under one king. But by the time David's great-great-grandson, King Asa, came along, the kingdom had been divided into north and south. And that was thanks to Solomon's son, King Rehoboam, because of a very foolish decision that he made that angered everybody in the north, and they split off and they became their own kingdom. So you have 10 tribes in the north, the kingdom of Israel, and then you have the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, in the south, the kingdom of Judah. Now, of Rehoboam, the scriptures said he did evil, for he did not seek the Lord. And presumably under Rehoboam, all of these altars and high places were built, and all these Asherah poles were built to the pagan gods of the Canaanites. But of Asa, we read tonight, he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And you heard what Asa did when he ascended to the throne. He tore down all those altars to the pagan gods and all those high places of worship. When Asa ascended to the throne, Judah was still strong, but not entirely at peace, because they had this a kind of a cold war going on with Israel to the north. It had started with Asa's father, Abijah. He fought a civil war and all of that. And so there's still a lot of bitterness, just like in America. There was bitterness between the north and the south. And so it is here in Israel. There's a cold war going on between them. Nevertheless, Asa did inherit a strong kingdom and with a robust economy and a strong military, and he was able to hold Judah's enemies at bay. And we read tonight in the reading that under the reign of Asa, the land had rest. It was peaceful. And the good thing is that Asa understood why they had rest and peace. As he said, we sought the Lord, and he has given us peace on every side. Asa well understood that peace was not his achievement or his father's achievement. It was a gift of God in whom he trusted. And so we read that when the Ethiopians and the Libyans attacked from the south with vastly superior armies, King Asa, first thing he did was he turned to the Lord and he prayed. And he said to the Lord, we rely on you. And God gave Judah and Asa the victory. Good king, right? Good king. Yeah. Years later, King Asa seems to be a changed man. And not for the better. The northern kingdom of Israel under King Baasha had begun to militarize its border, its southern border with Judah. So just 5 miles north of Jerusalem, Judah's capital, Israel had begun to fortify the city of Ramah. We read so that they could choke off all trade in and out of Judah from the north. And so, and in that way, they would weaken their rival. Basically, this was a trade blockade that, the northern kingdom was imposing upon Judah. And you know, a trade blockade is an act of war, isn't it? And of course, King Asa could not stand for that. And you would expect that a good king like Asa, as he had years earlier in times of trouble, first thing he would do would be to turn to God, right? And pray and inquire of the Lord. But not anymore. Like I said, Asa has changed over time. And now, instead of relying upon God, he doesn't even think of God. Instead, he turns to Ben-Hadad of Syria and puts his trust in a foreign king. Syria is Israel's neighbor to the north and an ally, but he's also an ally of Judah. And so Asa hatched a scheme where he would bribe Ben-Hadad to break his covenant with Israel, and also he would pay Syrian mercenaries to attack Israel's northern territory, and that would force the king of Israel to abandon his ambitions in the south, and to so that he could redeploy his troops to the north and defend the northern territory. But where do you get all the money for that kind of a bribe and to pay all those mercenaries? Where do you get that kind of money? We don't have a Social Security fund. We could get it from there if we had that. The temple treasury. There's a lot of money in there. And so, yeah, so Asa, we read this tonight, Asa went to the temple. But he did not go to the temple to seek the Lord or to inquire of him or to pray to him or to make sacrifices to him as he should have, as he would have when he was younger. But no, he went to the Lord's temple to raid the treasury. And in 16 verse 2, we read, he took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord. He turned the offerings of the people, temple treasury, into blood money to bribe a foreign king and to pay for foreign mercenaries to attack the northern kingdom of Israel and to spill the blood of those people so that he would not have to. And strategically, it really worked. It worked like a charm. Syria attacked Israel from the north, which forced King Baasha to have to abandon what he was trying to do in the south and redeploy his troops up to the north. And then that allowed the Judah to come into Ramah and steal all the building materials and bring it back and build their own cities. End of story, right? Worked like a charm. Asa got the results he wanted. But no, it's not the end of the story. Not all is well. Not according to Hanani, the prophet. He scolded Asa for having been foolish to have turned to the king of Syria for help instead of trusting God. And he was told that because of the lack of trust in the Lord God of Israel, there would now be constant war in Judah. Hanani was trying to call Asa to return to the Lord, come back to God, repent of your sin and come back. But instead, Asa became angry and had Hanani tossed into prison. And then after that, the king's heart seems to have hardened even more, because the chronicler reports Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at that same time. And then, perhaps as just deserts for his abandonment of God and for the cruel treatment he inflicted upon his people, King Asa, toward the end of his life, suffered a debilitating disease of his feet. 16 verse 12, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became very severe. Now you would think, like the younger Asa, severe disease, you would go to the Lord, pray about it, consult him. But no, not anymore, not Asa. At this point in his life, he has completely sidelined God, and he goes directly to his physicians without even thinking a thing about God. And what do we read? He went to his physicians, and he died of his disease, and he was buried with his fathers. Good King Asa? What do you say? He's another king who fell short, isn't he? Now, the people loved him. They honored him in his death. But apparently all those years of earthly peace and a good life had corrupted his heart so that he started to think he didn't need God anymore. That's kind of what the good life does sometimes, doesn't it? What do we need God for anymore? We can rely on our own wits, rely on our militaries, rely on our alliances, our craft and cunning. We can rely on our money and our doctors. That's what Asa did. And without God, he was not able to secure lasting peace for Judah. And he also could not survive his foot disease. Good King Asa. It's a sad story because it could have been so much different. Because as Hanani said to Asa, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. It could have been so much different. God would have been there for Asa to give him strong support. And Asa should have known that from earlier in his life. And it's not to suggest that there's anything wrong with money as such, or seeking the help of others, or making alliances, or making plans, and it's all that. And it's not wrong to go to a doctor when you have a disease. It's the way Asa did it. That was the problem. And it's the way we so often do it. When we sideline God, and we rely first and most of all on our money, our schemes, our plans, other people, and we forget to seek the Lord and inquire of him in our prayers. And you can tell that we are guilty of this sin just in the way we talk about prayer. No doubt you have heard this, right? Oh, we've tried everything. Now all we can do is pray. All we can do is pray. What? Because all of your best options have now been exhausted? And now you think about prayer? Now you think about God? Shouldn't that have been your first go-to? Your first impulse as a child of God to seek the Lord in your time of trouble? Is this not the same failure of trust of which Asa was guilty? And if you remember from last week, yes, the failure to trust God, first commandment, is a grave and a serious sin. Our first impulse in the time of trouble ought to be inspired by promises like Psalm 50. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Because God is the one we trust, prayer should be our first go-to. It is our native breath, as we sing in one hymn. It just flows from us naturally when we are in trouble, or should. And the Lord God should have been the first place that Asa turned, and the first place we turn. Because God will stop at nothing to provide rest and peace for his people. Remember what Hanani said. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. God wants to be there for you, to give you strong support in the hour of your need. If you'll just inquire of him, just remember him and trust him. And the proof of this is that after all of the failures of good King Asa, and after all of the failures of us good people, God still needed to give us a better king, King Jesus. Now, he did not come to the temple for money. As a matter of fact, he tried to chase away the money changers. He came to cleanse the temple of that money-corrupting influence, the corruption which in Asa's case had turned the heart of the king away from the Lord, and in the days of Jesus had turned the temple into a den of thieves. So thoroughly had money corrupted in the days of Jesus, so thoroughly had money corrupted the guardians of the temple that they sought to cast out their rightful king. How? By raiding the temple treasury. 30 pieces of silver to buy the life of Jesus, the son of Asa, to bribe Judas, to break his covenant with his rabbi, and to betray him into their hands. But God's purpose would not be thwarted. The son of David, the son of Asa, would reign in Jerusalem nevertheless, from the throne of his cross, crowned with thorns, robed in his own blood. Whereas Asa relied on money and alliances and kings and his own craft and cunning to try to secure peace for his people, Jesus trusted only his Father. And he commended himself in death to his Father. And in doing so, he accomplished for us what Asa could never have accomplished for his people. Jesus accomplished peace, perfect and eternal peace. Peace that passes understanding. It can't be taken away from us because it's not rooted in anything in this world or life. It is peace in hearts that are made blameless toward God by the forgiveness of sins. It is peace in a blessed fellowship with God. It is peace in receiving mercy and grace that is more than enough to cover us. And all of that paid at the price of the king's own blood. As for Asa, his failure of trust is why he fell short. It is not money, it is not kings, it is not armies, it is not doctors who will ever secure our peace. Not for Asa, not for Judah, not for us. The peace that we need is a peace with God. God, whom we constantly seem to want to sideline, as did Asa. But Jesus will never, ever sideline you in his heart and in his mind. He is our better king, who brought the peace we really need by paying the price that was really required. And there is nothing else in which we trust but the blood of King Jesus, the son of Asa, the Prince of Peace. He promises in your time of trouble to give you strong support. And he sealed that promise to you in the blood of the cross. So next time, turn to him first. Pray first. Trust in him above all things. Then call your doctor. In Jesus' name, amen.